Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 8, Text 6. Muhur Grinanto Vachasa Anuraga Skalat Padenasya Kritani Tajgya Kirita Sahasra Mani Praveka Pratyodito Dhamma Pana Sahasra Mahur Grinanto Vachasanuraga Skalat Padena Sya Kritani Tajgya Karita Sahasra Mani Praveka Pratyodito Dhamma Pana Sahasra Mahur Grinanto Vachasanuraga Skalat Padena Sya Kritani Tajgaha Kirita Sahasra Mani Praveka Pradyotito Dhamma Pana Sahasra Mahur Grinanto Vachasanuraga Skalat Padena Sya Kritani Tajgaha Kirita Sahasra Mani Praveka Pratyodito Dhamma Pana Sahasra Mahur Grinanto Vachasanuraga Vachasanuraga Kritya Sahasra Mani Praveka Mahur Grinanto Vachasanuraga Galat Pradhanasya Kritani Tajgaha Kirita Sahasra Mani Praveka Pratyotito Dhamma Pana Sahasra Mahur Grinanto Vachasanuraga Skalat Padenasya Kritani Tajgaha Karita Sahasra Mani Praveka Pradhitato Dhamma Pana Sahasra Vaishnavis Mohur Grinanto Vachasanuraya. Padena Sya Kritani Tajgaha Kaita Sahasra Mani Praveka Dhamma Pana Sahasra Mur Grinanto Vachasana Raga Again and again. Grinantaha. Glorifying. Vachasa. By words. Anuraga. With great affection. Skalatpadena. With symmetrical rhythm. Asya. Of the Lord. Kritani activities, tajgaha, those who know the pastimes, kirita, helmets, sahasra, thousands, manipaveka, glowing effulgence of the valuable stones, Pradyotita, emanating from Udama, rays, Pana, hoods, Sahasram, thousands. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The four Kumaras, headed by Sanat Kumara, who all knew the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, glorified the Lord in rhythmic accents with selected words full of affection and love. At that time, Lord Sankarshan, with his thousands of raised hoods, began to radiate an effulgence from the glowing stones in his head. On his head. Purport. The Lord is sometimes addressed as Uttama Shloka, which means one who is worshipped with selected words by devotees. A profusion of such selected words comes from a devotee who is fully absorbed in affection and love for the devotional service of the Lord. There are many instances in which even a small boy who is a great devotee of the Lord could offer excellent prayers and the choicest words for glorification of the pastimes of the Lord. In other words, without the development of fine affection and love, one cannot offer prayers to the Lord very suitably. Om Gyanam Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that even small boys who were great devotees of the Lord, were able to offer very excellent prayers. Of course, we can think of Dhruva Maharaj as one such small boy who offered nice prayers. Another, of course, is Prahlad Maharaj. So they were able to glorify the Lord with these choice words, Uttama Shloka, with the highest, the ultimate types of poetic language. And yeah, there's another verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that mentions this from the first canto, chapter 5, text 22. Uttama Shloka Gunanu Varnanam. You know, it's stated that the ultimate perfection of all austerity and learning is the glorification of the Lord with Uttama Shloka, choice words. And that is also a name of Krishna, Uttama Shloka, meaning he who is glorified with the most excellent poetic verses. But the main point, as mentioned here, is one has to have affection, love for Krishna. That is the main thing. Humility. Trinadapi sunechena tuorapi sahishna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. You know, that one has to be very, very humble, and then one can glorify the Lord with kirtan or bhajan or fine poetry. And in that verse from the first canto, you know, Srila Prabhupada makes a special point that scientists, philosophers, and other learned people should use their intellectual and academic and scientific talents to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to establish that there is a Supreme Controller who is in charge of this universe, who has manifested it. So somehow I've been engaged in that service. And Srila Prabhupada says at the end of that purport that scientific knowledge engaged in the service of the Lord is factually Hari Kirtan, a kind of Uttama Shloka. But specifically here, prayer is being mentioned. And that is one of the nine practices of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma, Nivedanam. So we begin by hearing and chanting about Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Then comes Smaranam. Then Padasevanam, serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Archanam, worship of the deity form of the Lord. And Vandanam, where in, that means offering choice prayers. So generally what we're doing is we're not composing our own prayers, but we're offering the prayers composed by the great devotees of the Lord, like when we're chanting the prayers of Lord Brahma, you know, Venam Kranantam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, or the prayers that we chant during the Guru Puja. So these prayers are there, and offering nice prayers is part of our practice of devotional service. But even if one offers prayers in not the choicest, most excellent words, even in broken language, even if it's imperfect in terms of grammar and composition, if the feeling is there, Srila Prabhupada says, if it's done for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord and out of affection of the Lord, that is also accepted. Like Srila Prabhupada once said, you know, talking about us, you know, his disciples, he said, you're not pronouncing things exactly correctly. Sometimes Archana Prabhu is correcting us. Like, you know, he gave the example, like, you're saying Sri Guru Charana, but you're calling me a cow. It's Guru. He says, but I accept it because I know what you're intending to say. You're intending to say Guru, but you're calling me Guru. So I accept it. So the intention, you know, the affection, if that's there, then these little mistakes can be forgiven. Although we should attempt to pronounce things correctly, that's always good to do. We can always learn some things. So sometimes this pride gets in the way of things. You know, the proper mood of affection, the desire to please Krishna is there. Instead, one may have a desire to become famous as a great poet, a master of language, and, you know, out of some selfish desire. And, you know, that came up in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. There was Keshava Kashmiri. He was renowned as a great poet and intellectual, and, you know, he would go around. In those days, there were competitions among scholars and poets, you know, who could be the best. And he was triumphant in so many gatherings like this. So he'd gone all over India, and he came to Mayapur and was going to demonstrate his abilities there. So one night, Lord Chaitanya, this is in the days before he took sannyas, he was running a school. He was a teacher at his own school. You know, he taught grammar. So one evening, Lord Chaitanya and his students were on the banks of the Ganges, and Keshava Kashmiri happened to come and visit them. And Keshava Kashmiri says, I've heard some good things about you, Nimai Pandit. I heard that you're a very good teacher of beginning grammar. So, you know, he was kind of putting him in his place. And Lord Chaitanya said to him, oh, you're such a great poet. I'm nothing compared to you. And let's hear you glorify Mother Ganges in verse. So Keshava Kashmiri said, okay, sure, I can do that. And over the course of the next hour, he recited 100 verses, not short ones, long long form verses glorifying the Ganges that he'd immediately composed on the spot. Okay, is that all right? And Lord Chaitanya said to him, well, yeah, it's pretty amazing. Maybe you could explain to me the faults and good qualities of one of your verses. And Keshava Kashmiri said, oh, okay, which one? And Lord Chaitanya recited from memory one of the 100 verses. And Keshava Kashmiri was amazed. How did you, you know, I just composed those right now, and there was 100 of them. And how were you able to remember, you know, a complete verse of mine like that? And Lord Chaitanya said to him, well, by the grace of Krishna, somebody can be a great poet like you. And by the grace of Krishna, somebody can be a Shruti Dara, which means they can memorize anything that they've heard. So I may not be a great poet like you, but somehow or other I have this talent of being able to remember things. But please explain to me the faults and the good qualities of this verse. And Keshava Kashmiri said, what do you mean, faults? This is faultless. And Lord Chaitanya said to him, don't be angry with me. Let's just admit, like with any other poetry, there are some good points, there are also some flaws. And he said, okay, look, you're just a teacher of beginning grammar. You're not a literary critic. You know, you're not fit to analyze poetry like this. And Lord Chaitanya said to him, well, I may not be a great poet, and I may not be a great literary critic, but over the years, I've heard some literary critics give the principles of the analysis of verse. And on that basis, I remember what they said, I can analyze. And Keshava Kashmiri said, okay, all right, go ahead. Let's hear what you have to say. And Lord Chaitanya again reminded him, okay, just don't be angry. Just hear me out. Let me speak. Don't interrupt. You know, he said, all right, go ahead. So then Lord Chaitanya gave this amazing analysis of the verse. And in his purports, Srila Prabhupada gives a very elaborate analysis of the different Sanskrit literary faults that Lord Chaitanya identified in this verse. You know, for example, he pointed out that he had in his verse called Lord Shiva's wife, Bhavani Bhartahu. And Bhavani means the wife of Bhava, which is the name of Lord Shiva. So because he put the word Bhartu, the husband, after it, it means like the husband of Lord Shiva's wife, which means she's got two husbands, Shiva and somebody else. It's an offense. It's a literary flaw. So he identified several of these literary flaws. And then he said, then you've got some nice things. You've got some alliteration in the lines of poetry, which means you've got words beginning with the same letter, R or B, in the different lines. But then he said, you got a flaw there. You've got alliteration in three lines, but in the fourth line, you don't have any. That's a fault. Bhagna krama means a broken pattern. So Keshava Krishnamurti was just stunned. He said, how you done this? You know, why is my Ishtadeva, goddess Saraswati, my favorite deity, why is my goddess Saraswati embarrassing me like this, that this boy, this student of beginning grammar, this teacher of beginning grammar, has just totally blown me away? He couldn't say a word. He was just silent. So Lord Chaitanya told him, you have to understand that even the greatest poets like Kalidas and some other ones, Jayadev Goswami, even in their poetry you can find some flaws like this. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm just, like you say, a simple student of grammar, simple teacher of beginning grammar. I can't really compare to you. You actually are a great poet. So just take it that Goddess Saraswati was speaking through me, and that's how I was able to do this. And Keshava Krishnamurti actually surrendered to Lord Chaitanya, you know, became humble, took the humble position and surrendered. So that humility is necessary when we're offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which will be accepted even if it's in with incorrect grammar and not the most perfect use of language. Like when Srila Prabhupada came to America, he said in his introduction, or his preface to the Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, you know, I'm trying to communicate this knowledge in a language that is not my first language, so some imperfection is bound to be there. But, you know, he cited a famous Sanskrit verse, Shrinvanti Gayanti Grananti Sadavaha, that even though something may be composed imperfectly, if it's for the purpose of glorifying the Supreme Lord, then such literature is accepted, it's chanted, it's repeated by the sadhava, the sadhus, the learned personalities. So, so this kind of humility is required. I can look at myself. I can remember when I first joined the Hare Krishna movement. You know, I was in the Washington, D.C. temple, and the president there was a devotee named Damodar. You know, he was one of the devotees from 26th Second Avenue. And, you know, I came, I was new bhakta, and I decided, he was writing articles for Back to Godhead magazine. You know, he had some reputation as a writer. So I decided to impress him, I would write 108 verses in praise of Bhagavad Gita. So I wrote them all down, on paper, and I put them together in a little book, and I gave it to him. And, he told me later, he called me into his office. He said, "All right, very nice, but, the first thing you should be writing is that you want to surrender to Srila Prabhupada. You should be writing him a letter saying, let me surrender to you and be actually connected with the disciplic succession so you can do things in an authorized way." And even to this day, I remember that because there can be a tendency, if you're involved in literature or poetry or whatever, to be doing it to have your name in lights, to have some reputation like that. But even today, I find that although I do have some things with my name on them, the most satisfying things I do are things that I'm asked to do by my superiors that don't result in anything with a name on them or anything like that. To do some what we might call menial literary service, like, compile a list of philosophical points or something that's needed by someone to carry out some service. So that's kind of what I got out of this verse today. Okay. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any comments? Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yeah, that's a very good point, Maharaj. I was kind of noticing, and I was going to mention, that at each step in his dealings with Keshava Kashmiri,